And our sermon text this morning is from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. And just like that short reading from Mark that Frank just shared, this text asks the question, who is our family? Who is our real family? Now, so far in our journey through the narrative lectionary, through the first books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, from Genesis, we've had stories about the creation, about Abraham, about Jacob. In Exodus, we had a story about Moses in the burning bush and getting his call to help set God's people free from slavery in Egypt. Last week in Deuteronomy, we had Moses' sermon to the people right before they crossed over into the chosen land. And today we skip over Joshua and Judges and begin with the book of Ruth. And if you're a big fan of Lyle Lovett, you know that one of his albums is entitled Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and it's from the Bible. But the story of Ruth is set in the time of the judges. This is before Israel had a king and when you had these tribal chieftains called judges who ruled the people and settled disputes. And so this is Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. It has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So Naomi said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. They were refugees, not because of war, but because of famine. And so Naomi and Elimelech and their sons, Mahlon and Chilion, left Bethlehem and essentially went into enemy territory, into the land of Moab. And the events of this last week have affected yet again my hearing of this story. Here there is this ancient, beautiful story about refugees. And over the last week, our television screens and computer screens and phone screens and all kinds of media have been full with images and stories about refugees in the present-day Middle East, about Americans and other tourists who are in Israel who have been trying to get out as soon as they could. And even now, with people in Gaza leaving the northern part of the Gaza Strip to go to the southern strip before hostilities began. And my phone is currently on airplane mode, but for all I know, there is a breaking news story even now about the latest in this conflict. And we're likely to see a refugee crisis grow even more. We've seen this before, and our hearts are heavy. And so we don't need biblical scholars to explain the plight of Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion as they leave their home because of the famine and go abroad, even as they go into enemy territory because they have no choice, because in the enemy territory there is food. And so they settle in the land of Moab. And Mahlon and Chilion find Moabite wives, which is interesting because in the biblical text, Israelites are not supposed to marry Moabites. But Chilion and Mahlon marry Moabite women. One is named Orpah, and the other Ruth. There's a story about Oprah Winfrey that I'm dying to know whether or not it is true. But the story is that when she was born, her parents intended to name her Orpah, because it's a very biblical name. It's from the book of Ruth. But they misspelled her name, and so she became Oprah. And so with one misspelling on a birth certificate, the name Oprah is now considerably more famous than the name Orpah. I don't know if that story is true or not, but I'm dying to know whether or not it is. And while they're in Moab, Elimelech dies, and Naomi's sons and daughters-in-law help care for Naomi, and together they work. And then after about 10 years, Mahlon and Chilion also die. And so now it is just Naomi and Orpah and Ruth. And they begin traveling back to Bethlehem. And I don't know what's going through Naomi's mind as they're traveling back. Maybe it was just natural that they would all begin traveling together because they've spent all that time together already, surviving, doing what they needed. But maybe as they're going back, Naomi begins to think, well, how will the people in Bethlehem receive two Moabite women? And so maybe Naomi thinks, I don't want to put them in that kind of potential danger, so I'm going to tell them to go back. And so she tells them to go back. They weep. And after Naomi pleads some more, Orpah finally decides to go back to Moab to remain there. But Ruth says, oh no. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. And Ruth makes this beautiful, surprising decision to stay with Naomi. This is a beautiful text that's often read at weddings, and it's a very appropriate and beautiful text for weddings. But at the same time, Ruth speaks these words when she's actually at that moment not choosing to marry again, but choosing instead to stay with her mother-in-law no matter what, saying that my relationship with you is the most important relationship to me, and wherever you go, I will go. And that's a surprise. In many ways, the biblical narrative sets us up not to expect this at all. In the book of Genesis, there's a horrible origin story about the Moabites and the Ammonites. In the story, Lot's daughters have no idea if they will be able to find husbands and reproduce and carry on, and so they seduce their own father after he's drunk. and then their descendants become the Moabites and the Ammonites. With that kind of origin story, we're not disposed well to think well of Moabites. And then in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, in his sermon to the people, very explicitly says that Moabites shall not be allowed into the assembly of the faithful. We're set up to expect that tragically Ruth and Naomi are going to have to part because of this historic enmity. We're not really shown how it could work. In the same way that when we look at the Middle East, many people throw up their hands and say there will never be peace there. There has been fighting for centuries and centuries. Back in 1995, almost 30 years ago, I was privileged to go with my seminary on a trip to Jordan, Israel, and Egypt. And the prospects for peace seemed brighter in 1995 than they do now. We're not set up to expect a good ending. And yet, maybe we should have expected the surprise ending all along, because there's more to the biblical narrative. If we haven't learned already, the biblical narrative is a story of surprises. Abraham and Sarah have a son in their old age, a surprise. Jacob, the youngest son, inherits the birthright. That's a surprise. Israel escaping the empire of Egypt is a surprise. And so while on the one hand we're set up to expect that Israelites and Moabites are going to remain enemies and there's no way these two women can forge a deep friendship because of that, we are also set up to expect the surprise. That amazing surprise, that moment when Ruth looks Naomi in the eyes and says, "Wherever you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. And your God, my God." In the movie Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, the lead character, Evelyn Kwan Wang, travels through these different alternate universes. And full confession, I fell asleep during the movie because I had a hard time following it. But I later read a synopsis that I found fascinating. And so Evelyn is traveling through these alternate universes, and each alternate universe is made possible because of a different choice she made in life. So in the present world, she made a series of choices, but for every choice she didn't make, there is an alternate universe somewhere. And so she begins visiting these different alternate universes. In one alternate universe, she's a professional singer. In another alternate universe, she's a martial arts expert. In yet another alternate universe, she leaves home very early to marry her true love. And Evelyn is able to choose which universe she finally inhabits. And we expect her to choose a much more glamorous universe, because as the movie opens, Evelyn and her family operate a laundromat. She's on the brink of divorce. She's caring for her sick father, who has always made her feel inadequate her entire life. And she is estranged from her daughter. And in fact, in one of the alternate universes, her daughter is the dark overlord, the Sith Lord over the whole universe. But with all of that, there's a surprise. And I bet you already know which life Evelyn chooses. She chooses the life that she had at the very beginning, in large part because of the deep love that she had for her estranged daughter. And she chooses that life, not knowing if she and her daughter will ever finally be reconciled or not. But that strong love for her daughter is so compelling that she has to make that choice and forego all those other alternate universes and all those other possibilities. This is such a beautiful and inspiring story, and it's so concrete. We don't need a theologian or a biblical expert to help us unravel it, because we all know that power of someone looking us directly into the eye and saying, I choose to be with you. I choose to be present with you, whatever difficulty you're going through at the moment. I choose to be with you, even though we don't know how it will work out yet. But I choose to be with you because love is so compelling and I have no other choice. Friends, we have neighbors who are hurting. As I mentioned at the start of the service, we have people around our block who have lived in Israel. They are in pain. Some of you may have Palestinian friends who are also in pain. And whenever another one of us is in pain, there is simply no substitute for looking each other in the eye and saying, I'm with you. I am with you no matter what, because a love of God and a love of neighbor demands nothing less. And so, dear friends, look around. Look around you here in the sanctuary, friends on Zoom, look around at all the other thumbnails on the screen. Look around. Look around you because these are your people. No matter what, these are your people. And we are all gathered together worshiping our God. And may God give us the strength to build on those strong ties that are already there and to build upon them even more so that we are fully enveloped in our love for each other and in our love for our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.